That was a lot of information there. And, you know, whenever I put my teachings together, it's usually 8 pages. And, you know, I put all my information. I gather all my information, and I went through it today, and I was at 18 pages. I'm like, man, I'm going to have to cut back on this. We'll be here all night. But there's so much information. I tried to cover everything, but there's no possible way you can do it in one setting. So anyway, let's get started. So Jatro means abundance, which could mean many things. You know, whenever, you know, all of the Torah portions and the stories in the Bible, you can point out grace and mercy in there somewhere. And I think we've done that with all of the speakers. We've done that. So the Lord had me go in a different direction. And, you know, I went in the direction of humility. Because I see humility everywhere in his portion. I see lack of, and I see folks that had humility. And, you know, one of the things that I really don't like, and, you know, I like watching football, but I hate braggers. There's something about it. I don't like it. I never did. And I don't consider myself a bragger in any way. I may be to some of y'all. But, you know, I just find it funny, you know, if I'm a receiver and I'm getting paid millions of dollars to make touchdowns, why would I celebrate if I make a touchdown? I'm supposed to do that, right? That's something I'm supposed to do. I'm getting paid to make a touchdown. So what's the celebration about? That's something you're supposed to do. You know, so anyway, I'm not crazy about that. But, you know, I see humility all over in this Torah portion, and sometimes I believe we forget the value of humility. And a perfect example of humility is Yeshua. He walked in humility constantly. Constantly he did it. And you might say, I have humility. You know, you might have humility. But there's a couple ways to test that. Number one, we test it by the scripture. We look at the scripture, and the scripture tells us and teaches us the attributes of humility. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And the other way is reflecting on how we handle situations in our life. It'll tell us if we have humility. So we're going to take a closer look at the story of Moses and his father-in-law Jethro. We'll take a look at the encounter. According to the Old Testament, Jethro was a Midianite priest who Moses, when he fled Egypt, he went and stayed with Jethro. He was the father of Zipporah, who became Moses' wife. When the Hebrews were at Mount Sinai, he visited Moses and gave him some wise counsel as to the government of the tribes. And that's what we want to take a look at. We'll stay in our portion reading most of the night. We'll just reference back to it. Let's go to the first reading, Exodus 18, and I'll see where we'll get started at here. At chapter 10. No, we'll start at 13. The next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me to inquire of Elohim. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between the person and another. And I make them know the statutes of Elohim and his laws." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice, I will give you advice, and Elohim be with you. You shall represent the people before Elohim and bring their cases to Elohim. And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear Elohim, who are trustworthy, and who hate a bribe. And place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of chiefs of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, Elohim will direct you, and you will be able to endure, and all the people also will go to their place in peace. So I noticed something here. Moses showed humility in spite of some things that happened in his life. All right? Now think about this. He's in Egypt, and he's trying to, you know, he's trying to get God's children out. And, you know, God does some things that's pretty miraculous. He throws a staff down, it turns into a snake. All right? Finally, they come out. And not only that, he sees all of these plagues. So Moses sees some things, and he witnessed some things, and God used his hand for a great deliverance. He needed somebody, so he picked Moses. All right? So Moses parted the Red Sea with that same staff. And not only did he part it, he brought the people across it on dry land. So to me, I mean, not just anybody can do that and not get big-headed and think he's the man. But you know something? Moses didn't have that attitude at all. He didn't say, who in the world this guy Jethro thinks he is? I'm the man who parted the Red Sea. I'm the one who brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. I'm the guy who threw the staff down and turned into a snake. Moses didn't do that because Moses was walking in humility, but he had every right to. There's folks who've done way less than that and think they're the next best thing to slice bread, but not Moses, because Moses knew. So Moses listened and applied his counsel in Jethro's counsel and advice. He applied it with the children of Israel. If you finish reading that story, you'll see where Moses listened to his father-in-law, because his father-in-law had good advice. You know, if I'm building a house, I'm not going to call a guy up who farms. That would be crazy. We don't do stuff like that. We want to get our information from somebody who knows something. You know, now think about this. You know, if you're in a situation and you're really not sure of what you're doing or how to get out of that situation, and somebody approaches you and they say, look, I have the information you need, and they tell you the information, would you get upset or would you use that information? We'd use it. Well, for some reason, in the body of Christ, whenever somebody approaches us with information that'll help us, we kind of get upset about it. But you know something? We're only hurting ourselves. Because God uses people, just like he used Jethro. Why didn't God just tell Moses? He told Moses all kind of other stuff. He didn't, because God uses people to get information to other people. So we shouldn't get up. We should be happy. Moses was happy, let me tell you. He was happy because he couldn't wait to implement that. Said, you know something? That fellow's right. My father-in-law's right. I'm going to wear myself out, and they're going to get wore out listening to my big mouth all the time. So he appointed people. God's still doing the same thing. He's doing the same thing today. He appoints people to do work and work of ministry, and not just pulpit work, you know. There's all kind of different works. I'm not going to get into all the different. Let me move on. All right. Humility. considering someone else's need over your own need. Think about that. Considering someone else's need over your own need. You know, that's a tough one. Especially for me, you know, and the guys, and even the ladies who work. You know, and you don't, I mean, you don't have to work, but anyway, whenever it comes to the need of others, I always look at my family first, because they're my responsibility. But there's times where God told me to give whenever I felt like I should have kept. I give, and you know what happened is He provided. He provided it in a different way. But He was just test. He tests us to see if we're going to be obedient, because it's all about obedience. We're going to go back to the Torah portion, Matthew 6, 1 through 4, and the topic here is humility's reward. We're going to look at some scriptures of humility's reward. You know, everything we do that God asks us to do, we get rewarded for it. We shouldn't do it because of that. We should do it because we want to please the Father. But at the same time, He loves us, and He gives us rewards for listening to Him and obeying His word. 6:4. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For they will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So He says He'll reward us. And, you know, I'm looking at it, I'm wondering, well, what is He talking about? Well, He's talking about money in the first part. So maybe it's money. You know, God chooses how He's going to reward us. But looking at the other ones, I think it's safe to say money. All right, go to Matthew. What's the next one? Yeah, 5 and 6. The Lord's Prayer. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to the Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows that you need what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others your trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. All right, let's move down here. Fasting. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who sees in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So he's talking about fasting here. And, you know, we fast for different things. You fast for spiritual strength. I mean, you fast for revelation or insight, different things. But whatever you fast for, you'll get it. You'll be rewarded for it. In Matthew 5:5, it says, "Blessed are the humble, for they shall inherit the earth." And he tells us what our reward will be: inherit the earth. James 4:10, "Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you." So, you know, the exalting belongs to God, you know, not to us. We seek him, do what he asks us to do, and he'll exalt us. But we must walk in humility. We have to walk in humility. Walk in humility, and he will open up doors, he will expand our businesses, and he will promote you. But the trick is not to listen to the noise. There's so much noise out there, especially whenever you have your own business. You know, you're looking for promotion. You're going to hear stuff from different directions, different ways, but it's all the same. It's a distraction. It's all the same. It's in the same category, trying to distract you from your goal, and that's seeking God and his kingdom first, and he'll promote us. And, you know, I fish. I charter fish. You know, I don't get caught up in the different cliques they have out there. I fish. Whenever it's time for me to get a trip, I get a phone call. It's that simple. I do home improvement and handyman work. I don't get caught up in all kind of other stuff. I go there. I do my job. And whenever it's time for me to get work, I get a phone call. God provides. But we don't have to get caught up in all these different cliques and groups, and we don't have to do any of that. We just got to adhere to the Word of God, and he'll open up all the doors, because I already know where all that stuff leads. Second Chronicles 34:27. Let's take a look at it. "Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against the place and against its inhabitants, and because you humbled yourself before me, tore your clothes and wept before me, I truly have heard you, declares the Lord." If we're walking in humility, God's going to hear our prayers. He'll hear us. We have to be humble. We have to walk in humility. Proverbs 22:4, "The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life." So again, he explains some of the rewards: riches, honor, and life. "He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way." Again, he talks about a reward: justice. He leads us in justice whenever we humble. He teaches us his way. You know, have you ever felt like you've been mistreated? Well, I can tell you, if we stay humble, God's going to see to it that we get the right justice. I've been mistreated. I'm sure everybody in here has been mistreated before. And we could look back on it, and if we kept our mouth shut and we was humble about it, God made sure that justice was served on our behalf, because we have an advocate with the Father. When folks mess with his people, they messing with him. People often wonder what humility means or what is the definition of humility in the Bible. Humility is a quality of being considerate and courteously respectful of others. And the opposite, it is the opposite of aggressiveness, arrogance, boastfulness, and vanity. Rather than me first, humility allows us to say, "No, you first, my friend." Humility is the quality that lets us go more than halfway to meet the needs and demands of others. Humility is a major theme of both the Old and New Testament. Why does humility have such a prominent place in the Bible? Humility dissipates anger and heals wounds. Humility allows us to see the dignity and worth of all God's people. So we all have worth in the kingdom. No, nobody's worth more than the other. We all have worth. He all cares for us. He all puts us in different positions. He gives us Every one of us, different things to do. You know, none of us do the same things. We have different stuff we do. As servants of God, we must be respectful of all God's creation, including our fellow human beings. Our demeanor and the way we carry ourselves can hurt others just as much as words we speak. So we're going to talk about humble demeanor, because we need it. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. So we must walk humbly with Yahweh. And we'll look at the Torah portion, Acts 6:1-7. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of Elohim to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men, good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they sat before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them, and the word of Elohim continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So, you know, it doesn't say anything in here about humility, but I have to believe that these folks that they picked out were very humble, because it furthered their ministry, and folks were being saved. So they picked out humble guys to do the task. And we're not going to go to, 1 Timothy. That's also in the Torah portion, 1-13, Titus 5-9. You know, they chose people. And, you know, again, I believe that they were walking in humility because they were chosen. They were chosen as overseers. And then there was some that was chosen as elders. So there were folks that were chosen that I believe walked in humility. So let's move on. Proverbs 27:1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. So in other words, walk in humility. You know, I think it's bad if we walk around praising ourselves. We should praise our Father. All honor and glory belongs to Him, because without Him we're not here. Proverbs 11:2, when pride comes, then dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. Humility never lets us forget who got us off the certain road of destruction. You know that? Whenever we walk in humbleness, we never forget that. You know that God's the one that got us off the road of destruction and set us on to a path of eternal life. It wasn't our parents. It wasn't our boss. It wasn't our friends. It wasn't social media. It wasn't our possessions. It wasn't any of that stuff. But think about this. How much time and attention we give to the Father compared to all the things mentioned above. You know, if you put all of that stuff together, the parents, social media, everything together, how much time do we give to the Father compared to that? I know in my life He deserves more. He deserves more, hands down. I mean, I'd be lying if I said He didn't. And the thing about growing in God is He demands more and more of our time. But we have to be willing to give up some things. And that's where the problem comes in. We don't like giving up things, especially things we love. But if we do that, this is what happens. The more time and attention we give to the Father, the more we realize we need less of the other things and more of Him. You know, that was one of my fears whenever I first started coming back to church for the last time. In 2004, November 26th. At that time, I didn't think about it. But a couple weeks later, I started thinking about all of the stuff that I have to give up. But something, you know, I kept pursuing God, and then I realized something. Them things that I thought was very important in my life, there was no comparison to God anymore. So the closer we get to Him, the more we realize, you know something, I really don't need that stuff. But I need Him. We're going to look at the golden rule. That's Matthew, again in a Torah portion, Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So it takes humility. I mean, especially that first part. You know, we should treat others as we treat ourselves. I mean, that's tough. You think about it. We can say, yeah, well, that's easy. Think about how you treat yourself. You know, all the stuff you do for yourself. Everything. Would you do it for somebody else? Would you be willing, that dedicated to your neighbor, to a friend, that you would do it for somebody else? Especially the folks that treat you bad. That's the tough ones. The ones that you look at and you say, them cats are crazy. Would you help them? They come knocking on your door. Say, I need something to eat. Would you invite them in? Matthew 18:1, this is not part of our Torah. At that time the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a child to himself and set him before them and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And after I read it, I'm like, said to myself, I said, "What did he say?" And I read it again. And again he says, "And he called a child to himself and set him before him and said, 'Truly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven.'" I'm like, wow, that's quite a statement there. Saying we have to become like children in a spiritual sense. And, you know, so I wrote some things down here. And he says, who wants to be vulnerable, powerless, and humble like a child? Unless we change and become like a child, we will not enter the kingdom of God. I got some work to do. That's what I said after I read that and I got it. I'm like, I got some work to do. All right, we're going to move on. Here's a good one. Talk and gossip. And remember, we're talking about humility. We didn't get off the subject because we have to walk in humility to see this. Arrogant words inflame prejudice and hatred, but humble speech soothes. Words make or break relationships. Words can make war or peace. The words we say or write have tremendous power for good or evil. We should be as careful with our words as we would be with any other weapon. So I started thinking about this, and I'm like, you know, I done had somebody point a gun at me. The gun wasn't loaded, but you know what I told them? Don't point that gun at me. Are you crazy? The gun's not loaded. But think about it. If somebody points it, don't matter if the gun's loaded or right. You know, it's the principle. You don't point a gun at anybody. It doesn't matter if it's loaded or not. And I thought about that. And I compared it to this. And you know, we should be like that whenever it comes to our words. And you know, have you ever told anybody, you know, you should watch what you say? My wife told me that. She tells me that. I mean, she said, you know, the things you say, you don't realize how they come off. Because I don't. I didn't. I tried to. But there ain't nobody in here knows me as good as my wife. And the same with y'all's spouse, so don't laugh at me. You know, so they know. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. So we should be careful, especially as Christians, because folks are watching us, especially in a setting where, you know, I mean, the families get together a lot, and, you know, some of them don't go to church, some do, some are born again, some are not. And look, we should be careful, because we don't want to say something that would hinder them from accepting Christ and being born again. We shouldn't do that. You know, now, there's times where we're going to say things. God's going to ask us to say stuff, and it might hurt their feelings. But we need to make sure that we're led before we do that. So we have to be careful when it comes to our words and gossip. Gossip is an act of hostility intended to harm someone's reputation. We must avoid the temptation to misrepresent someone's character or actions as an act of revenge or prejudice. And think about that. You know, the crazy thing about us as humans, you know, I can do something for somebody 20 times, help them out. I mean, go out of my way to help them, and I do one thing to, you know, not even to intentionally hurt them. You know, they'll remember that one thing and completely forget about the 20 things. And it's crazy because, you know, I don't know. I don't know why we do that, but we do. We tend to forget all of the good things that we did. And look, none of us is perfect. None of us. You know, we should get into a habit whenever our brother or sister does something and maybe we get offended or whatever, we should think about all them good things that they did for us. Because I'm sure they did some things in the past. What they just did might have hurt you, but I'm sure they did some good things in the past because all of us have, we all have good in us. We just sometimes it's hard to get out of us. Got to get a crowbar, pry it out. Proverbs 15:18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but the slow to anger calms a dispute. When we walk in humility, we avoid gossip. If we're walking in humility, we're just going to let them say what they want to say. And whenever it's time for us to join in the conversation, we'll do that. I remember one of the jobs I was working at, you know, these guys would come and they'd tell me these dirty jokes. And, you know, I don't want to hear that. So I just stand there and I stare at them like that, you know. And whenever they get done, that's my same, you know. I just look at them. And finally they got the hint. And they quit telling the jokes, you know. But, I mean, we don't have to entertain that stuff if we don't want. It's up to us. But we can say no to it. Just like we say no to a lot of other things. We can say no to gossip and talking. All right, we're going to switch gears to judging others. And we're going to look at Matthew 7 in our Torah portion. Matthew 7, 1 through 6. Judge not, that you not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eyes. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them under foot and turn to attack you. So, you know, I read that, and they got so much truth in there. You know, but I think if we work on each other, work on ourselves, we'll help each other out more. That's what he's telling us there. If I work on me, and Brother Josh works on him, then we better fit for each other. Because then we can come to each other and say, look, brother, you got to, you know, maybe you need to think about this. But if one of us is working and the other one's not, there's going to be a disagreement. And if the other two, if either one of them is not working and one of them says something, it's going to be a mess, a big mess. But if you're both working and walking in humility, then you'll both receive what is said. You'll take it as advice. Because remember, God uses people to talk to people. And sometimes that talking is pointing out things that we didn't see for ourselves. Judging others is one of the hardest things to avoid because it is so much easier to see other people's faults than to see your own faults. Rather than look for faults in others, we should look for the good in others and try to correct the faults within ourselves. Basically what I just said. You know, we got to work on us, because if I work on me, then I'm better fit for the body of Christ. But if I'm not doing any working at all and I'm not walking in humility, nobody's... If I do say something, it's going to be out of time with God, and I'm going to be saying something I shouldn't be saying because I'm not working on me. It's like the Pharisees and Sadducees. They preach one thing and do another thing. So Jesus told his disciples, he said, you do what they preach, but don't do what they do. But if we do that, that's basically what we're doing. We're preaching something, but we're not doing it ourselves. And we don't want to do that. We want to help each other. And notice what follows. Go back to the your Torah portion. I want you to notice something here. I caught this while I was putting it together. Notice what follows judging others. Ask, and you will receive. So, first thing come to my mind, if I'm praying and I'm not receiving, it's probably because I'm judging. Could be. It could be. Because it follows it. It's not going to specifically be that, but I think it's something we need to check. It could be that we just have to wait longer. That's simple. But at the same time, why does that follow that? I questioned it because there are some things I'm praying for. When we walk in humility, we avoid judging others. Anger and revenge. Let's take a look at this one. Proverbs 29:11. A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. How many times have we seen that? I'm not talking about the wise man holding it back. How many times have we seen fools lose their temper? And how many times are we on the end with the fool? I know I was. Quite a few times. But he says a wise man holds it back. Person who walks in humility holds it back. James 1:19. This you know, my beloved brethren. But everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Yeah, I mean, that's tough, because we all know that the mouth, ooh, man, that'd get us in trouble quick. Got me in jail one night. I just said something. That was enough. Didn't do anything wrong. I just said something. Before I knew it, I was being thrown on top of the hood of the car and put in handcuffs because I said something. Like, wouldn't know why. I asked you a question, fella. I learned, don't ask them cops questions when they're mad. They put you in jail. Don't tell Brother Lee I said that, man. All right. Well, I'm mad. I'm all nervous now, man. I forgot y'all was here. Holding a grudge can consume us with hatred, blocking out all enjoyment of life. A grudge clouds our judgment and may lead us to an act of revenge that can never be undone. We must walk in humility. And think about it. I mean, one act can change our whole life.
It happens every day. People make one decision and their whole life is changed. One decision. There's folks who are in a ballroom and they say, I'm going to drink one more beer and don't make it home. I'm going to take one more hit and end up 6 feet under. There's folks who make one decision, a split decision, and they have to spend the rest of their life in jail. I mean, what makes us think we're exempt from that? We're not. That's why we have to walk in humility, because we're not. That can happen to us. We can get angry and do something because we do crazy stuff when we're angry. And it can change our whole life. And here's the thing. It doesn't just change our life. It changes the folks around us' life. Our loved ones. And I remember a few years ago, I had a dog, Roscoe. And again, you know, I'm just using this as an example because we don't even, it doesn't even have to be an act out of anger. It could be because we're not led by the Spirit of God, because it's dangerous when we're not led. And I was on one of the side streets going to the four lane, and my dog was in the back, and they didn't have any cars coming, and I was going across the four lane to take a left and head down a road. So anyway, I'm going across, and I looked back at my dog because I was afraid he jumps out, and I didn't realize it, but I went clean across the, you know, instead of stopping and looking to see if any cars were coming from that way, I went clean across, and whenever I looked up, they had an 18-wheeler coming. So I stepped on the gas and got out of the way, and I'm like, man, I pulled over on the side. I'm like, man, that was close. But, you know, just like that, stuff can happen if we're not underneath the shadow of the Almighty. That's where we need to stay. We need to walk in humility and realize, you know something? Without God, there ain't no way I'm going to make this. No way. I'm going to come up short every day. Bearing a grudge and seeking revenge are never appropriate responses to a perceived wrong. A grudge destroys the grudge holder with bitterness. Revenge only escalates hostilities. Jesus told us we must reconcile with our adversaries, forgive their transgressions, and let go of anger that may tempt us to commit an act of revenge. We must walk in humility. You know, I watched one of my aunts die. She was ate up with bitterness for years. And you can tell. You can tell she was. And it killed her. That's why it doesn't pay. We have no reward in that stuff. If you want to call death a reward and eternity away from God, I don't call that a reward. Returning love for hatred can often cool the fires of anger. It is very difficult not to respond to anger with even more anger. However, when we respond to anger with empathy and love, we can often break the cycle of hatred and convert even our enemies into friends. Jesus gave us the unique command to love even our enemies. And we have a hard time loving family members. That's crazy. That is crazy. You think about it, that's crazy. You tell us love our enemies, and we ain't got past the family yet. I know I have work to do. I'm just saying. I don't know about anybody else, but I do. Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your neighbors and pray for those who persecute you. And again, even praying for them is tough, much less loving them. But I can tell you, if you want to start somewhere, you start with the praying. Because it's a lot easier to pray for them than to love them. But I can tell you, if you keep praying for them, it's going to turn into love. It'll turn into love. When we walk in humility, we avoid anger and revenge. I noticed something in this Torah portion. It starts with advice and ends with a result. So I'll read the last Torah portion. 2 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. So, until next time, remember, God's plan for you is better than your plan for you. You're dismissed.